Welcome back to Colchonero Chats. I'm Jeremy Barron. I'm joined by Robbie Dunn, and we are going to be breaking down Atletico and Levante's 2-2 draw at the Ciutat de Valencia on Thursday. Atletico's demonstrable house of horrors, and it struck again in match day 11 in La Liga. Robbie, how you doing today?
I'm good. We've had 24, well, not quite 24, but closer to 24 hours than usual to digest what happened yesterday. So, we will hopefully some very well thought out opinions and insights for our listeners.
Or we could be just talking nonsense.
Most likely, but listen, I hope that the insights are clear and concise and insightful.
that is what we hope to deliver, but it's really a 50-50 proposition. So, Robbie, another four-goal thriller for Atletico. This past week, we have seen Atletico play a five-goal thriller and back-to-back four-goal games now. Atletico haven't won any of them. This one, the most controversial of the batch, probably. You've written a column today on Into the Calderon about not only are Atletico battling poor refereeing, but they're also battling some nerves, some anxiety. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so basically what I saw, and I only really kind of focused on the first half because watching the game last night, as maybe you'll agree or disagree, but we can chat about that, but they started off really well. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they just forgot what was happening. They seemed to forget how to defend for some reason. And then Mario Hermoso was booked. Felipe was booked for a ridiculous challenge. And I just said, you know what, I'm going to sit down now tonight, this morning, and watch the first half back properly and see what happened. And what I saw was actually quite scary, I think, in that there's a lack of, I think there's problems with the structure and the personnel that Simeone is trying to get to play the system that he wants to play. I think that there is issues with mentality and willingness, effort, we'll say. And then there's also just a general anxiety about all of that together. I think the Atletico players are aware of the fact that they're susceptible on the break. I think that they're aware that their attack isn't as good at pressing as it maybe should be, and I think that there's an anxiety that's pervading through the team that Simeone needs to fix. Is basically the crux of my article today. Mm.
Yeah, I echo your observations, and I saw a lot of what you saw during the game yesterday. Atletico came out with yet another wrinkle to their formation and their strategy, effectively playing a 5-2-3 in attack, in defense rather, and a 3-4-3 in attack. So a bit different from the 4-3-3 we've seen in the past couple games and the 3-5-2/4-4-2 that we've seen at other points this season and last season. So it's yet another new wrinkle to the formation. Koke and Herrera started in the center of the park in this game as two of the only three available fit, healthy midfielders at the moment. And that, I think, really conditioned why Atletico were so susceptible on the break. And it made it a bit more confusing as to why they're 1-0 up inside 15 minutes with a Griezmann goal from a corner. And they just kind of sat back like, no, you need to get a second goal. Like, the options in midfield are really rather limited. And it's a three-man defense where arguably your best center back, Stefan Savage, is still out.
Yeah, and I think actually, as you chat there, and the signs were there though that they're susceptible on the break before Griezmann scored, and they looked kind of good in attack, but there was a couple of kind of misplaced passes, and there was a couple of times before Atletico just collapsed. You know what happened? And I said earlier, after the goal, Atletico forgot how to defend. What I think happened was, after the goal, Levante realized Atletico are here for the taking. And I think Morales got into the game then, and that's when the problems manifested themselves. But they were there to be, they were there all along. And I think that, even at the end of the first half, there was a break on for Levante, and if the ref didn't blow the whistle, they were through. There was a number of times when that happened during the game, and I was just watching it, and what happened was, I think that Atletico became aware, almost all of a sudden they became really, I think this is where the anxiety came from, is that all of a sudden they became really aware that we are susceptible on the break. They lost faith in Felipe because he was all over the place, and I think that that condition, their lack of willingness to kind of try that last ball or to kind of, and that then kind of Levante pounced on that, and Levante pulled themselves back into the game. And I think I think that the three at the back is problematic. I think that and it's not just Felipe's problem, it's a problem with the system, in that Carrasco isn't defensively minded. So Mario Hermoso's having to kind of cover a little bit more for him. Trippier, I think, is a little bit lost lately. I think his level has dropped from the Trippier we knew when he first joined. And I think that there's massive holes in the between the lines. I think Koke's physicality is becoming a bit of a problem. And I think that Herrera too, a little bit of too much of a maverick for that role, especially when Koke struggles on the counter. I think you need someone way more defensively inclined than Herrera is. And I think that the communication between everyone was poor, and I just think that the problems obviously showed themselves after Atletico got the goal, but they had been there all along.
You're not painting a very pretty picture here.
No, and honestly, maybe it's the kind of thing that works itself out and whatever, and it just nothing ever really happens, and Atletico are fine when Savage comes back, and maybe Rodrigo De Paul or whatever. But looking back, and I'm looking at like Suarez's contribution, and I actually feel, not that I feel bad, I'm about 98% sure he doesn't listen to this podcast, but I feel on the off chance he does, I'm not having a go at him, because he's a legend. I love Luis Suarez, like everything that the man is. I think he's great entertainment, great value for his money, but I just think that he's slowing this Atletico side down. And there was a couple of times, even as I said in the article, where he didn't track his man and didn't press and just gave the ball away.
And he gives away the penalty.
Yep. But even before the penalty, way back, Kieran Trippier tried a cross, an absolutely outrageous outswinging corner to Hector Herrera, and it landed to Morales, and it was Morales versus Koke on the break. And I mean, I don't have to tell you how that ended.
That's only going to go one way, right?
Yeah, that's only going to go one way, always. And I was just looking, going like, what's Trippier even doing there? Like, I mean, he knows that they're susceptible on the break, and Atletico were lucky they didn't concede then. And then, so then they win a corner from that. Herrera gets back in time to kind of clear the Morales cross. Then Suarez is marking at the front post, and you know that player that always clears the ball at the front post when it's a poor corner. It was a poor corner, but the man got a step on Suarez, and John Oblak turned around and like screamed. He was like screaming, like, don't let that happen. Only for Koke clearing it, they won another corner, and from that corner, Suarez gives away the penalty. I'm just looking, going like, this is a team that's mentally asleep.
Like, these are errors that are avoidable.
Exactly. And I think that while I said that there is problems with the system, I think with a better midfield and maybe Savage coming back, they're not terminal. But at the same time, I don't know where that meant that those avoidable issues are solved. I don't know what's wrong. Maybe it's the fact that Simeone is focusing too much on attacking now in training, and they've kind of let their defensive standards slip or something. I don't know. But it's something that is worrying for Atletico. And I would be concerned if I were them. While the referee did grab the headlines and it was what I thought was a ridiculous call, I think that first half they looked like they were playing against. It looked like they were playing against Liverpool, like, and this is Levante, haven't won a game all year.
Yeah.
New manager, defensively, yeah. So I think it is worrying. Yeah,
that is a winless in 18 Levante entering this game, and yeah, they Atletico effectively, indirectly or otherwise, woke them up after the opening goal. And they go ahead and get the equalizer before halftime, which was a legitimate call. That actually was a clear-cut stonewall penalty at the end of the first half. But you hit on something that I want to talk about that isn't refereeing. We will have plenty of time to talk about the refereeing and Atletico using it effectively as a shield, in a way. But you've hit on a few players whose level is concerning, right? And beyond, look, the refereeing and the officiating is just terrible, and the standards are really low in La Liga right now. But Atletico's level, certain players are just not pulling their weight. And you mentioned a few of them. Kieran Trippier, I think, is missing Marcos Llorente something fierce. Because I watched Trippier yesterday. I tried to pay special attention to what he was going to do in this game with so few midfield options and runners available. And it's just like, aimless cross here, short lateral pass there. It's like he's kind of lost down that right-hand side without Llorente. And the fact that he doesn't really have competition at right-back, like Shimei Vrsaljko is not an option for Simeone. He does not consider him. Not really, anyway. Trippier is the undisputed starter at right-back, and I think that lack of competition has probably made him comfortable, because yesterday's performance wasn't really acceptable, and he's had several performances this season where he just hasn't been at the level required, certainly what he wasn't at last year. Koke doesn't look physically sharp. He obviously had a long summer with the Euros, but he looks like he's overwhelmed in midfield, and it looks like he's obviously, he usually takes on a lot of responsibilities in Atletico's midfield, but he doesn't look like he's physically at the level required. Neither does Carrasco. Carrasco is cutting a pretty frustrated figure because he's being asked to do more defensive work. And Carrasco is a player who has said in a bunch of interviews that he doesn't really like doing defensive work, that he doesn't really like playing as a wingback. He wants to play further forward. And even when Simeone threw on Renan Lodi yesterday to try to push Carrasco further forward, there still wasn't a reaction. There still wasn't a response. You talked about Felipe, and I thought this is one of Felipe's better games, which tells you where his level kind of is right now. He's just wildly inconsistent, and Atletico cannot be relying on him as in the central three. Marcos Llorente, even when he was fit earlier this season, Llorente wasn't playing particularly well. No goals, no assists, was playing as a wingback more often than not. So you have several players who were key to the title charge last season who aren't really showing up right now, frankly.
Yeah, I think you basically nailed it there. There's issues of sharpness, and I understand Koke. Yeah, like, I mean, he could definitely benefit. But see, this is the problem, and this is the jigsaw puzzle that Simeone has to solve. In that, I don't know, you don't solve a jigsaw puzzle. No, this is the puzzle, we'll say, that Simeone needs to solve, is that how do you make Atletico solid without taking away from the attack? Because he's got so many options in attack now that he needs to find a way. And this can happen. I mean, this happens when you've got a really, really set way of playing, and all of a sudden you start to play a new way, and all these other problems start to appear, and you're like, hold on. Like, and I'm not saying Simeone obviously is an expert coach, but it's not his style. It'd be like, It's like a pasta chef all of a sudden starting to make sushi. Like, eventually you can do it, and you'll figure out a way to do it, because you know food and you know how to cook. But there's a lot to it that you probably don't get. And I think Simeone right now is, there's a lot of kind of issues appearing with the three at the back that And it's multifactorial, obviously, because it's not just his system, but it's the personnel and the proper matches, and how do you, like I said, play defensively without taking too much away from your attack and stuff like that. Like, and I think for example, with Suarez, like, he is. I mean, how do you deal with Suarez? Because he was really pissed off when he was taken off yesterday, and I mean, he's not going to be a happy camper if he doesn't play. So you kind of have to play him. And
he gets goals when he plays. You have to play him.
And he does get goals, but is he taking away from the whole? Like,
yeah. Because I don't think it was lost on either of us that Atletico improved relatively significantly in the second half when Suarez came off.
Yeah, and I thought Cunha did well. He took his goal really well.
Yes, very happy for him.
And I just wonder how long can Simeone sit and wait for Suarez to warm up? Because in that first half, I thought he was pretty terrible. Like, and I just wonder how long do you wait for him to come good, or like, because there's a chance that he doesn't come good. And I think Simeone sat and watched yesterday and was like, I can't wait for him to maybe possibly score as a winner here, because he's going to end up leave us in a bigger hole. And it's not just, again, it's not just his fault, but it's across the board. I think there's kind of issues there that Simeone needs to solve.
Yeah, this game kind of showcased these vulnerabilities that Levante exploited at various points. Because up until the hour mark, I thought Levante were the better side. But Atletico made changes that put them back on top pretty firmly, and they looked like they were going to get the win in the end. The Cunha goal in the 76th minute, that was a beauty from DePaul's through ball. Two subs combining there as once again Cholo turns to his bench and finds solutions. On the last show, we talked about the Mateus Cunha theorem, Robbie, about how he comes on and Atletico seemed to play better. Now he's got a goal to show for his efforts. What did you make of his play? What have you made of Cunha's play? Does he deserve to get a start as soon as this weekend, perhaps?
I think so, yeah. I think he needs a start and be given a chance to from the start. Now, I understand that to some extent it's high stakes here, and you can't really lose, and you have to be kind of, you can't just go kind of changing the team and stuff like that. And Simeone is kind of isn't the kind of one to go and start just handing out big opportunities and big games, especially against an opponent like Real Betis. But like, I think at some point you have to give him a chance to prove himself in a full game. Like, he came on yesterday and I thought he was really good, and he's lanky, and he's not like, his game isn't kind of based on pure finesse or anything like that. He's but he's effective, I think, anyway, and it's kind of hard to judge what I thought. He took his goal really well, and his movement looks to be good, but I do think that it's hard to judge a guy on 10 minutes when he's coming on. Like, we all know the sub that comes on for 10 or 15 minutes and he's running around just trying to do something. Like, that's not a fair representation of what he is as a footballer and what he would do in a full game or what he would do across a full season. So I think, yeah, it's time that he is given a chance. But then, will Suarez be happy with that? I mean, I'm being dropped for a big game. I don't know, because this is a huge game on Sunday, and as I said, it's high stakes, but it's not. Given the way that La Liga is going, I think Atletico do have kind of room to draw with Levante and draw with Real Sociedad, so it's not the end of the world like in years gone by where with losing a game was fatal to your title chances. But I do think that it's getting to the point where they can't really draw that many more, or they, you know, and they need to fix this. So, yeah, I would personally start him on Sunday afternoon. But again, I don't know what way Simeone is thinking.
Yeah, it's really something, because I was actually considering this yesterday while I was writing up the player ratings. Is that in previous years, back to back draws like this would have been fatal. But with all these teams dropping points, with La Real top of the table right now, with a few teams still having at least one game in hand. Yeah, it's just really chaotic and topsy-turvy, and who knows how many more twists and turns this thing will have. Atletico did let an opportunity slip yesterday, though, to kind of join that pack atop the table on 21 points. Now they're on 19 through 10 games, which isn't a particularly good return. That's only 4 points clear of the Barcelona team, which just sacked Ronald Koeman and is about to hire Xavi. And this Atletico team, I think we can agree, is a by some distance better than this current Barcelona team. But only on 19 points. And these results don't look fatal right now, but over time they add up. So yeah, it's very important that Atletico fix this and don't put themselves in a position to where they can be hammered by the refereeing. So that's a good segue to talking about the refereeing and the late penalty. But really, throughout this game, I think there were incidents that conditioned Atletico's very angry response in the media this morning, Friday morning, where João Félix, as Simeone said, was getting kicked time and time again. He was fouled 5 times. Those are the fouls that were called. And Levante only picked up 1 yellow card in the first 90 minutes. And that conditions the game. Because we talked about this when Atletico played Athletic, where if the referee is not going to try to stem the tide of physicality, then that's just going to embolden the team that is, you know, trying to wind you up. And we talked about how there's not really, like, okay, there's this kind of misplaced admiration or respect for the style of play where one team just kicks the hell out of the other and tries to get a goalless draw. Okay, great. That's how you want to play. Levante did kind of the same thing, posed a big threat on the break, but Levante were tugging and grabbing and holding João Félix whenever they could, and only 1 yellow card to show for it. And after that, Simeone gets sent off for protesting a couple decisions. He's gone. Renan Lodi gives away an 86th minute penalty that I think everyone was pretty shocked by, weren't they?
Yeah, it was the fact that, like, I mean, nobody, and someone replied to me on Twitter last night saying, like, oh, I said, nobody even thought that was a penalty. And he was like, oh, so is that how this works now? And I was like, no, it's not. But, like the referee, like, and I was trying to think then, I was like, if they're going to start doing that, like, and I guess, I don't know, even on the replay, it's not very clear that he, that you know what I mean? I just thought it was an absolutely bizarre decision. But back to the referee, and I definitely have sympathy for Atletico in this, because I read both the players and Simeone, because he was kind of trying to protect him, and he felt like it was up to him to maybe do or say something, and I get that, like, but and I do think the referee made a mess of it. I think like he made a complete mess of it in that he should have booked, like for example, he booked Mario Hermoso for his first tackle.
Yeah.
And Hermoso turned around after the booking. He kind of went, like, just won. And I think it was Malsa or someone had fouled Griezmann once. And both, like, probably not as bad as Hermoso's, like, but, and the only reason Hermoso, I think, was booked was because it was out in open space and it kind of maybe whatever. But, like, I think at that point it was like, you've gotten this wrong, ref. You were so quick to take your card out of your pocket for Hermoso, and Levante, and this was only, like, this wasn't that late in the game. And I think that, like you said, conditioned the game. And I think that after that, the referee seemed to just kind of dig his heels in. He was like, I will say one thing in his defense. Levante were really smart about it, because when you actually look at their fouls, there was only a couple of players had 3 fouls. But most of them only had 2, and they were right on the border. So the ref was probably like, "Ooh." Now, he a stronger personality, and if he had known how it would all end up or whatever, he might have been, like, quicker to take a yellow card out.
Right.
But I think they were right on the border, like a lot of them. So I think with that in mind, I think I think he did get it wrong, but I do feel a bit sorry for him because they were really, really strategic about it. Like, I just got them up here. So there's 3 fouls by Piel, Francesa 1 foul, Malsa 2 fouls. They were the 2, and after those 2, he didn't foul again. Bardi 3 fouls, Pepelu 3 fouls, Morales 1 foul, Gomez 1 foul. It was so well done by them because it was so spread out. There wasn't like a continuous fouling. It was like Malsa got his 2 kicks in early and that was it. He didn't do it again. Then it was Pierre's turn and then it was Pepe Lu's turn, and the ref was looking going like, I can't book you. I can't just book you for that. So I think it was so strategic from them. But it's up to him to figure out that strategy and nip it in the bud and see what they're doing.
And not let it explode 10 minutes from time.
Exactly. And then come back and give that penalty against Lodi that, I mean, like, it was 2 minutes removed. Like even the commentators in the game, they're like, oh, they didn't even know what it was for. They thought it was for the one on Cunha, or there was a potential handball in that.
Yep.
In a move. And they were like, oh, yeah, well, maybe this could be a penalty for Atletico here. Let's see what the referee says. And then, like, a few seconds into him looking at the screen, they were like, wait. This is actually for a Levante penalty here. And they were, like, shocked. They were like, wait, what's it for? And they were obviously trying to do their best, but, like, they didn't even know. And then all of a sudden, he gave the penalty, and it was kind of like, oh, like, that's a gimme. Like, that's a freebie.
As
like,
a gift.
That's a gift. Like, I mean, you just gifted them a penalty there for nothing. Even the fact that the replay is kind of inconclusive. You can't really see if it maybe grazed his arm. Secondly, the ball is from point blank range. Thirdly, he doesn't even prevent. Like, I just thought it was such a. I mean, do you know what it was? Here's what it was. It was such a brave call by the ref in a game where he hadn't been brave up to that point.
Yes,
that's what the issue was. It was such a huge call for a referee who had completely reneged on making it his abdicated his responsibility to make a big call prior to that, and I think that's what was just so weird about it. It was like, this is the one you're going to pick.
Right.
This is the one that you're going to pick to kind of stamp your authority on it.
You've had an entire game to kind of nip Levante's strategy in the bud, and this is the big call you choose to make.
Exactly. This is the one you're going to make. And I think that's what's so strange about it. Like, he sent Simeone off, and like he probably had to send Simeone off when you watch his reaction to one of the things. He kind of had to go with his forward fishing, the referee was protecting obviously his colleague. But like, even at that, like, he probably could have told him to calm down. Like, if he had a pop at him, he went over and booked him, sent him off, and it was like, obviously there's no conspiracy theory, and sometimes referees just kind of have bad games and kind of get it wrong and misjudge it. But I think it is easy for Atletico fans to sit there and be like, the 2 biggest calls of the night.
Both went against them.
And both of them are like Simeone, fair enough, that doesn't even really affect the game because it was whatever. But the second one, it's kind of like I said, like, you weren't brave all game, and this is the one you're gonna, this is the stamp you're gonna leave on the game, like, and I think that's what shocked and kind of left a bitter taste in the mouth for Atletico fans.
And the referee Gonzalez Fuerte still could have said no, because it was the VAR official Estrada Fernandez who pointed his attention to this apparent handball, which I've seen several angles now, and I've watched it back several times, and I don't even think it really touches Lodi, at least not at first. I think it deflects off De Frutos, who's battling for position with him in front of the goal to try to control Morales's short cross. I think it goes off De Frutos's foot, and then, like, maybe, like, Lodi's chest or his shoulder, but never his arm. So I'm not sure what Estrada Fernandez thought he was seeing, but the point is Atletico feel rather aggrieved by this, and I think they have a point. Social media was rather angry about the whole thing last night, as you can imagine. And, you know, this is not the first time it's happened to Atletico this season. I think we have to be careful and stop short of saying or even implying conspiracy theory, because this is happening all over La Liga, right? We've been watching La Liga for several years, Robbie, and we both know the standards of refereeing are really rather low. And nothing is really done about it because the CTA, the Committee of Referees, is really rather happy with how things are going. But it's conditioning how teams play. It's conditioning the league. And it's not a conspiracy theory if it happens to everyone. The refereeing level is just that low, and teams have to find ways to overcome it. Right now, Atletico are not overcoming it. They are making mistakes defensively. They have injuries. The mentality, as you've written today, might be an issue now. So the psychological aspect needs to be worked on. And you add all that, you throw in some refereeing in it, and you make a really toxic, kind of cancerous, poisonous stew. So it's just nothing really good happened for Atletico on Thursday night. But the refereeing standards, just another glaring example of how low they are in Spain relative to the other elite leagues in Europe.
Yeah, I think refereeing is so hard, man. It's just so hard.
Oh, of course.
I think their compass has just been completely thrown off. And with VAR, they're kind of leaning on it, but then also kind of hiding behind it. And it was supposed to be kind of like a tool to help, but it's just making the game worse and making, like, it's supposed to kind of fix decisions that were whatever, and all of a sudden, like, it's kind of like there's no common sense. Like, the referee, and I know this can't be the rule, like, can I just wave it away? Like, but that referee could have just as easily said, that's not a penalty. Like, and that's why I like Mateo Laos. Like, yeah, okay, he makes mistakes and stuff like that, but, like, he's like, stop annoying me. Like, so that's, like, get away from me, annoying me with that. It's like there's a common, and I know people might listen to this and laugh, but, like, there's a certain kind of braveness to his decisions, but also, like, a common sense. He's, like, looking, and he's talking to the players, and he's like, and that's the way that, like, I'd like to see it being ref. Like, look at that and go, look, that's not a penalty. And I know that it can't be, what do I think here? Like, it has to be within the rules of the law or of the game and whatever and all that. But I just feel like there's a certain lack of common sense that comes into it. I don't even kind of know where I'm going or what I'm proposing here with that. But, like, just referees with a certain amount of common sense and cojones, I would say, to ref the game and book one of those Levante players. Say, oh, you know what you're doing. Now, take that yellow card and see how that suits you. And then all of a sudden, okay, no. And then, but at the same time, just on that same note, Atletico need to find ways to not let that affect them either. And I think that, at the end of the day, you're playing a team that's scrapping against relegation, and it's a team that is really fighting for their lives. And Atletico need to rise above that and not let themselves get dragged into it. And I thought that they did, and didn't manage it well at all.
And it's not normal that the team that has the fewest fouls in La Liga also has the most yellow cards. It's not really right. I'm not saying that's an issue with referees alone. Atletico's players bear responsibility for this because they're letting the referee get to them.
No, but I think the yellow card, the fouls per yellow card thing is interesting, I think, because firstly, like, what's happening is it's rash tackling. It's getting caught on the counter and this, I think, when you look at that article and you look at that chart, the table that I posted in the article, fouls for yellow card, three fouls for every yellow card, that's a sign of a team that is afraid of getting caught on the counter, I feel, because I don't actually have the number for them, but a lot of those cards are being handed out when Atletico are caught on the counter, and they're just like Hermoso pulling the Morales down because he's afraid if this guy gets by me, they're through here. You know, and I think that speaks of issues within the system. Like Felipe took, I think it was Danny Gomez out for his yellow.
Yeah.
And he was like, if he gets by me, we're toast. And I think that's where this anxiety that I'm talking about comes into it.
Yeah, on that play where Felipe picked up his yellow card, the entire defensive alignment broke down because Trippier gets beat down the boundary. And now Felipe's got to come over and make this crunching tackle because Trippier and Koke actually messed up in trying to win back the ball. So Felipe's got to come in and make that challenge, which could have been a red card on another day because you know, the standards are what they are. But that is, I think, emblematic of where Atletico are right now. It's a pretty fragile, vulnerable defensive team that is scoring goals. And, you know, what does it all mean? Is it more encouraging to have good play but bad results, or play badly but still get good results?
Yeah, right now, and given the state of La Liga, I think Atletico need to find themselves and figure this out. But I think that they do still have time to do that, and I think they still have the quality to do it. But I just think Simeone needs to find a way to get through to them and to fix this.
Well, the next chance to do so, Robbie, will be Sunday against Betis in a pretty vital top six clash. Betis right now are fourth, playing really rather well under Manuel Pellegrini.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's got them playing really well.
Yep.
And I think he's kind of solved a lot of their... Well, not a lot of... He solved their defensive issues by being just ridiculously good in attack, with getting the best out of Nabil Fekir and Sergio Canales, two of the most creative players in La Liga.
Yep.
And I think that they are and he's kind of spread them out. He's got one of them sitting deeper and Fekir playing as the number 10, and I think Fekir is running the show at the moment. He's just amazing, and I think that makes him that much harder to play to defend against. And it also helps them to defend. They defend on the front foot, like they defend with the ball
defend in possession, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think that he's got them playing really well, I'm not making any prediction for this game because I haven't got a clue what's going to happen.
We're done with the predictions for the time being.
Not like I ever have a clue what's going to happen, but this one particularly, I'm particularly in the dark here.
Yeah, I think we're going to shelve the predictions for the moment because we're on a cold streak. But Betis pounded Valencia 4-1 on Wednesday and looked really rather good doing it. Borja Iglesias, too, is a man reborn since the middle of last season. He's banging in the goals for Betis. And, yeah, they played in that game in a 4-2-3-1 with all three of Canales, Fekir, and Juanmi behind Iglesias. And it's a really attacking look. Betis play very nice football. They have a lot of possession. So generally, how do we think this one's going to go? Without making a prediction, how do we think Atletico can or will respond at the Wanda Metropolitana?
I think a lot of it depends on the system again, and I know I think Simeone got a little bit of a surprise, not a surprise, but Levante are kind of hard to play against because they played two up front, and I think that kind of caused a lot of confusion with where Felipe was supposed to go and where he was supposed to kind of locate himself on the field, and should he have Hermoso, should he go? So, but I think that Simeone knows Nabil Fekir is the danger man, is a danger man, is whatever you want to call it. I think he's going to have to play and I don't actually know who's available. I haven't had a look yet, but he's going to have to play a more defensive, solid kind of and maybe direct him out the flanks more. Because against Levante, he didn't need. They ended up doing neither. They weren't solid in the center, and they weren't kind of funneling anything into the center. They were kind of neither solid in the middle or out wide either. So I think that he's going to have to kind of figure out a way to kind of get a bit more solidity at the base of defense, and then that will help the central defenders.
Getting Kondogbia back would be a big help if he is available this weekend. Kondogbia and DePaul starting in midfield will add a lot of steel and work rate. DePaul's cameo on Thursday was just sensational. I thought he was excellent and wasn't really sure why he didn't start. Herrera is really good in one specific style of play. When he is afforded time and space and his team has the ball, he's a really accurate, reliable passer with good range. But when he's asked to do literally anything beyond that, he becomes a liability. And we have seen that several times with Herrera, and that's why he's not exactly a Simeone favorite. So getting Kondogbia back will add quite a bit of... It'll be helpful because he resists the press pretty well. He's a solid passer, and he's excellent defensively. He's got a great defensive profile. Lema and Llorente are probably still going to be out. Stefan Savage might be back. Just Savage and Kondogbia alone should really help solidify Atletico at the back. Oblak would like to stop conceding goals, I'm sure. He's probably a bit confused as to, you know, 7 goals in the last 3 games. This has never happened to me before. Oblak's got to be looking around. Yeah, so not hazarding a prediction, not making any prediction one way or the other, but I will say I think a more defensively solid Atletico will show up at the Wanda Metropolitano on Sunday.
It has to, because it's getting kind of to the point now where it is getting a little bit worrying.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens. La Liga is more unpredictable than ever so far this season, with Atletico aren't even in the top four, which it's still early, still plenty of time. We're not sounding alarm bells here. It's not even November yet. However, the play is getting better, but the results haven't been consistent. The results haven't been there consistently this season. That's got to change very soon. We'll see if that change starts on Sunday. And that will just about do it for us, Robbie. Anything else before we sign off here?
No, that's about it. Let's see if we can kind of change the tune on Sunday and come and talk about how good Atletico were and how good they looked in attack and how solid they looked at the back. I'm not holding my breath, but let's see.
Indeed, we will be back here on Sunday to discuss that game against Betis and get you set for Liverpool next week in the Champions League. I'm Jeremy Barron, joined by Robbie Dunn. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much for your continued support. Keep it here on Into the Calderon and on patreon.com/ColchNeroChat for bonus exclusive goodies. We'll talk to you all again on Sunday. Adios.